It's Friday then, it's Saturday, Sunday.
That means it's footy around the corner. Means it's a Friday footy preview. Oh, Boomer Hubby. A little man with a big, big, big pipes in the AFL Games record holder. Getting ready for a big weekend of footy. He joins us on the preview. Hello, Brent.
Good morning, boys. I actually love that song now because every time it comes on, Rammer and Half go off their heads and dance it in the studio and Whitey gives us absolutely nothing. So it's actually quite interesting. I'm not sure if he hates the song or he just hates you dancing or he just doesn't like fun. I'm not too sure.
I think he just hates us in general.
Definitely the latter.
I think he just hates us. And I wouldn't exactly call him a danceman.
It's a gangster. That's gangster stuff. Don't
it's
like
not
gangster music.
Stuff.
It's gangster music.
Gangster music.
What is it? That's gangster music.
No, it's not.
It's
not.
What would you call it?
Hip hop sort of stuff. It's not gangster stuff. No.
Whitey, what's your kids listening to these days? You'd have a bit of Roy Orbison in the background or something, which is nothing wrong with, by the way. That's what I grew up on. Elvis and Elvis and Roy Orbison. Well, but, a bit of country and western in your house?
No.
What are you listening to?
Well, James, the middle child, is being to his music. He loves Queen, not this stuff.
Oh, Queen.
And my daughter, she's into. Can you get that off? It's distracting. My daughter's into The Greatest Showman. She's got that playing all the time.
Magnificent soundtrack.
Campbell.
I know we're talking about football, but it is interesting the music choice of the young kids these days. At North Heidelberg, some of the young boys are in charge of the music. At North Melbourne, some of the young boys are in charge of the music. And they say, Boomer, what do you want to hear? I said, you know what? I just want to hear some lyrics. I just don't want to hear... I just want some lyrics where I can actually sing to. So quite interesting, the choices.
Can you make sure that your kids do self-defence, please, Whitey? They get in the school talking about Queen and Greatest Showman soundtracks. And
that's proper music.
The kids aren't going to like that, mate. They're going to get punched up. I'm just telling
James
you.
James can look after himself.
Yes. So can Jemima. I think she'll be right too. Righto, hey Boomer, there's been some big news in your footy club. It was a great performance last week with a win against the Blues, and the build is going nicely. But some really big news in your footy club, distressing news through the week with the champ Ben Cunnington.
Yeah, we had a great game against the Blues last week. Ball movement was good, and we're starting to really look like we're going okay, and the game plan's picking up, and the boys are all over it. You know, I know there's only four or five games to go, but we want to finish off the season really well. And then, yeah, it was an interesting time of the week last week when we all heard about Ben. I know one thing about Ben, he's a fighter, so we got nothing to worry about there. He's a ripper fella, a really private guy, so I'm sure all the guys have contacted him and wished him well, but he'll be sitting at home hoping that there's no fuss about him and he'll just get on with what he's about, because like I said, he's private and he's a fighter, so we all send our love to him, as I'm sure all the football community does.
Absolutely.
And hopefully he gets well very, very soon.
So for those that aren't aware, been doing some other things for the last couple of days, Ben had a testicular tumour removed this week and will be out for the season. So no one knew anything about it. He wasn't sitting on it and just keeping it secret. No one knew. He didn't know.
No, absolutely not. It happened really quick, which is a really good thing, by the way, too, because they found it really early, straight into had an operation the next day, I'm pretty sure it was. I actually don't know a lot of the information. The club didn't release a lot because they didn't know a lot at the time.
Yep.
We just know we haven't seen Ben this week. The operation's been done and he's at home resting with his family and close friends. So that's the most important thing.
Does that rattle the group a bit, though? Does it, when that sort of news comes through and hits the playing group? Because, as you well know, and Rama, you spend each other's all the year in your pockets of your best mates and your teammates through a footy club.
Yeah, it can a little bit, I guess. But the other thing it can do is galvanise the group as well, because you know we haven't got our leader, one of our, or if not our best player, certainly in the top three this year. He's an absolute jet. So we haven't got him. So we know that everybody needs to pick up the slack now. And we can't leave that to Jai Simkin and Jed Anderson. That's got to be a thing that the 18 guys on the field all pick up the slack for Ben, because he's such a good player and important player. So it can galvanise that group. And we've spoken about it early in the week and we're ready to go again.
When you hear that, Rama, what do you feel?
Oh, I feel for Ben. And I just hope that he's going to be okay. He's a terrific person, a terrific family man, as Boomer said, very private, doesn't particularly like doing media too much, so Yeah, you just you feel for him. But I will say this: extremely lucky being in a football club in these circumstances, because you're straight in to see the very best doctors, the very best surgeons.
Yep.
By all reports, they were able to operate on it very, very quickly, and just fingers crossed now he recovers really well.
Yep. Well, he's been one of the driving forces for so many years for the Kangas. I'm sure he'll be getting a lot of love sent through him, sent to him through the football community, as you said, Boomer. So I hope he does go well. So from all of us here at RSN 927, we send our best to Ben and his recovery, and hope to see him sooner rather than later.
There's a couple of other footy issues I'd like to bring forward onto the table, if that's okay, before we talk about the games. Firstly, Boomer, just Luke Beveridge's comments around the AFL saying you can't do any sort of boxing type activity, martial arts or combat type stuff at training, and saying, well, hang on a second, that's not for the AFL to decide, and you can't react after just what happened at Hawthorn. What's your views on that?
As Half and Rama probably know, growing, or not growing up, but being at a football club throughout the 90s and early 2000s, we did a lot of boxing. Yep. We actually had a boxing coach, and that was part of our fitness. So, you know, today they do yoga and they do Pilates and they do all this. Boxing was one of the programs in our football schedule. So I actually used to love it. And I think it builds resilience. It builds so many things if you do it in the right way. We don't want to get in the ring and punch the crap out of each other and give each other a concussion. That's not what boxing's about. And it wouldn't be a sport if that was the end result of it. So I didn't hear Luke's actual comments.
I'll give you this, Boomer. Stand by. I'll read some to you.
We can hear him.
Oh, well, yeah. That's even better than me reading them. Let's hear from the man himself, the coach of the Western Bulldogs.
No, we can't hear him at the moment, but we might be able to hear him.
Well, how about I just read them for you then? Yep. Let's just do this, eh?
Oh, beautiful.
Our boxing coach, Johnny, does a magnificent job with our players one-on-one. There is a lot of sparring with mitts. Just because one club gets it wrong from a risk management point of view, it doesn't mean every other club all of a sudden becomes vulnerable and needs to eliminate the risk, he goes on. So we'll continue boxing with Johnny, and it's a really important part of our program, an important conditioning aspect of what we do. We don't spar player to player, but we haven't been told what we can and can't do. Until we get something formal, then we won't even take much notice. Cop that, says Luke Beveridge.
There we go. Well, yeah, I don't know where the AFL sit in terms of if they can bring those rules in or not, but there's so many, like I said, the technique of boxing where you're side on and you're actually protecting yourself versus going to, I relate, when we used to do it, they used to relate a lot of boxing to football. If you go to a contest front on, you're going to get split up the middle.
Yep.
Boxing, you've got a stance and you're protecting yourself. If you go into a contest like that, you're protecting yourself. So there's so many different aspects to boxing. And I haven't even touched on the fitness part, which I think footwork is the second best fitness behind running. Boxing is unbelievable to do. I do a lot of boxing in the off-season, and you get super fit from it. So there's a lot of benefits from it if you do it right. Again, we all don't want to jump in the ring and punch the crap out of each other and give each other a concussion. It's not about that.
But boy, if
sometimes you do, though. Some of those guys really annoy you.
If that's part of Boomer's program, I think we should all get on board with those. Those cannons and pipes are the byproduct of the boxing program. We need to get involved, Rammer.
The issue is, where does it end? Like they talk about boxing now, so you know, is there? Do we have to take away contact
at
sessions
training, yeah.
at training? Yep. If there's, you know, if there's a chance that a player might get hurt. Like, now, I think if boxing at a football club's done in a controlled manner, it's so beneficial for young men to be able to do that.
It's interesting the same way that they banned boxing that they let Lance Franklin off.
Yeah, for clubbing someone in the head.
Yeah.
With an elbow.
Yeah, you look at our, you look at the big guys who struggle a little bit with footwork.
Yep.
So boxing's another, it's a great thing for their footwork, just to get into position to go take their marks, to get into a ruck position. Again, so many more benefits than the negatives. So is it a knee-jerk reaction? I'm not 100% sure. Luke answered it pretty well.
It was a big part of our program at Essendon when I first got there. Just to do that bit of extra work, even before the game, you know, hitting the pads and the like. I understand the sparring stuff, but his sparring's done in a controlled manner. It's fantastic.
The other one I wanted to bring up, guys, and it is an Essendon one half, so if you want to get a cup of tea, you can go for your life.
I'll be back in a sec, Boomer.
The Essendon's dropped Cale Hooker. Now, when you look at the goal-kicking power for the Bombers this year, Cale Hooker is leading Essendon's goal-kicking with 33 goals, 24, at an average of 1.8. Stringer 30 goals, Tip and Woody 32 goals, and then down to Jones 20 goals, and Jones is out injured at the moment. Cale Hooker coming to the end of a 5-year contract, but has done Rama quite well for the Bombers in a particular role, making it easier for Jones and
Peter
taking
Wright.
Peter Wright and taking, I guess, the best defender. Are you surprised that he's out of the team?
Yep, I am. I'm very surprised he's out of the team now. Yep, Cale has some limitations in his game as he's getting older. There's no doubt about that. But I think Cale's done a marvellous job the way he's been able to protect Harry Jones, as we said, albeit he's injured now. Peter Wright. Even like, I look at the emergencies and Alec Waterman's, he's not in the team at the moment. You would have thought with Cale going out, Waterman may have come in. So I was a little bit surprised when I saw that last night because I think Cale has been doing his job most weeks, whether that is taking a really good defender and allowing Peter Wright more opportunity to go for fly for his mark. So it'd be interesting to see this week how that all works. You know, Dane Rampey, Tom McCartan have been going really well as key defenders for the Swans. So does that make it a little bit easier for those guys?
So not only is he leading the goal king at Essendon, albeit by one goal, but looking at across the competition of players that have kicked around about the same amount of goals as he has. He's kicked the same amount of goals as Joe Danaher, one less than Nick Larkey and one less than Jack Darling. And they've all played the same amount of games. So it just seemed quite strange. Yeah. Not saying he's on top of his game at the moment, but to drop him in what is a really important game for the footy club, that seemed a bit strange, Boomer.
Yeah, I totally agree. When I seen that last night, I was like, wow. And I actually...
Please, Boomer, you don't care.
No, I actually did see it and get quite shocked, Rammer, because I did check. The first thing I checked, I thought, gee, he's kicked a few goals this year. And I think over 30 goals, you're going okay. So he's leading the goal kicking for Essendon. If you drop your leading goal kicker, it's a fairly big thing. Is there other things in his game that he needs to work on? I guess there is, and maybe that's the reason behind it. Or is it literally... that we don't know. They wouldn't have said drop for an experienced guy like that. They would have said rested if he was actually just rested. So will he play VFL this week, Rammer?
Well, I'm not sure if there's a game. Yeah. Should we start on the Bombers?
He's kicked 4 goals in the last 6 weeks. So he hasn't kicked a lot of goals in the last 6 weeks. So we've got to put it into context. But I still think it's an interesting move considering there's not a lot of experience in that team as it stands.
But why do you make a really good point? And I call that the snowball effect. We look at Nick Larkey this year, who started fairly slow. It was because he was the number one target. If we had Ben Brown there, he'd get the second best defender. And Rama said the same thing about Wright and who was the other tall forward? Jones. So now what happens, they get the best two defenders rather than Hooker getting probably the best defender. So that snowballing effect, well, we'll find out on the weekend how the Bombers deal with it.
I think you're right, Rama. And when you're talking to Boomer before, no one really cares.
Now let's start on the Bombers. Let's start on the Bombers.
Let's go St Kilda and Carlton at Marvel Stadium tonight.
We're here.
Friday night footy and the Friday footy preview. It's what we're going to focus on. No one cares about it, isn't it? Boomer is with us, and we're going to talk about this game tonight. Big game for the Saints, particularly. And we've got, what have we got in? Clark, Higgins, Marshall, Highmore. You were talking during the week, Whitey, about some of the ins that could be coming for the Saints. Well, 4 changes for them, for Sherman, Sinclair, Caulfield, Cleverino and Hunter. And then we've got Charlie Curno is back for the Blues tonight. Big H has been named as well. Honey and O'Brien. Out go Betts, injured. Murphy, this was in the sub position. Cottrell, Petrescu, Seaton and Williams is injured as well. Interesting game, a very important one for the Saints, Boomer. They were there. Well, in fact, these two teams, they've sort of gone week on week as being a good story and a bad story. They've been inconsistent all year long, and they've copped the whack when they've been poor, and they've copped the praise when they've been good. Who wins this game and why tonight?
Oh, I think I'll start with who I think is going to win, and I think the Saints win. I seen Carlton firsthand last week, and they're a little bit disappointing for me, the way they moved the ball, the way they defended. So I think the Kangas end up winning by 39 points and did it quite easily in the end. So
no need to rub it in.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting game in terms of the contested part, because a little stat, the last 4 weeks, St Kilda are number 1 in contested marks and Carlton are number 2 in contested marks. So we might see a lot of balls going down the line and just going for big hangers, which I like. And Maxi King, who took 8 contested marks last week, was on absolute fire. So we might see a bit more of a contested game than we actually think. I know St Kilda have got the ability to move the ball fairly well, but I think it's going to be a more contested ball. The thing with the Saints, they're getting scored against really easily. So 50% of the time that the ball goes inside 50, they're getting scored against. Now, that's, I think that's number 18th in the competition. So they need to defend a little bit better, not only in the back six, but certainly through the midfield and put a little bit more pressure through the midfield. But I just don't see Carlton being able to move the ball super well and getting enough inside 50s. Great to see Charlie Curnow back, obviously. But Marshall is a bigger end than Charlie Curnow for me. I thought St Kilda missed him hugely last week. Him and Paddy Ryder, because Paddy Ryder's number two in the competition and getting his hands on the football in the ruck. So he gives them first use. So Marshall, given Paddy Ryder a chop out, Ryder can go forward a little bit more. We know he can take some clunks, and I just think they win, and they win fairly easy for me.
So Ryder-Marshall, that combination comes back in, Rammer, and yep. Boomer's talking about defending, and the Saints having some challenges there, D50 style, but the Blues get scored against in patches willy-nilly and have done for a while now. How do you see this unfolding?
I think this game's pretty simple, Whitey, to be honest with you. If Carlton don't bring any pressure, which they didn't last week against North Melbourne, St Kilda will walk all over them. That's I was really disappointed in Carlton last week, the way, particularly that second half. Now, they had a small forward line last week. So if you've got a small forward line, the ball shouldn't come out of your forward line easy at all. Mm. North Melbourne were able to virtually walk the ball from one end of the ground to the other last week too many times. Just too many times. Now, I get it, Marvel Stadium, quicker deck, potentially harder to tackle, put pressure on. That's rubbish. That is absolute rubbish. You effort in terms of chasing and tackling and trying to make a team turn the ball over is absolutely critical. I don't see that on a consistent basis enough with Carlton.
We've gone from small ball to high ball this week with Curnow and Mackay coming back
in. Yeah, well, see, this is an interesting thing with Mackay, which is a bit of a setback for those that took Tom Hawkins for Coleman Medal last night. he wasn't meant to play Harry this week.
He might not still.
Okay. Hopefully he doesn't. But would have you played Curnow?
Well, you have to back your medical team in and your high-performance team. If they think he's ready to play, like, how long do you keep the kid on the shelf? That's the thing. Like, he was always a super athlete. He was always super fit.
He looks great.
Why he was drafted. His athletic profile is through the roof. So those guys, those medical team, Andrew Russell and the physios at Carlton, that's what they're paid to do. They're paid to prepare these players that they're fit. Now, okay, he's only played two games. I understand all that. But I'm listening to those guys. I'm David Teague. I'm the coach. I'm listening to those guys, and I'm asking the question, is he ready to go? Can he play four quarters to me? Because you're not bringing Charlie Curnow in if he's only going to play two and a half quarters sort of thing.
He'll only probably play 70% anyway. Probably. Max anyway.
Yeah. Like so most... three quarters, maybe a bit more than three quarters he's going to play.
Well, even the midfielders, if they play, when you say they play 100%, you're not resting them, they only play 85% anyway because they all get 6 minutes on the bench every quarter, which equates to 83% game time anyway. So the question is, Whitey, if he doesn't play seniors, does he play VFL again?
Yeah, well, they'll have some form of scratch match this week.
Yeah,
yeah. So why would you? Is what Boomer's saying,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that's sort of what I'm getting at. I'm with you, Rammer. I'm saying if he's going to play VFL, you've probably got more chance of getting injured in the VFL than you have in the AFL. And I agree 100%. You've got to, he's done an abundance of work behind the scenes here. They've not just chucked him into the VFL and played two scratches and said, "Rightio, off you go." And then you've got to remember they're building for 2022, right? So his mindset, if I get through these four games, I'm going in the preseason at 100%.
Yeah.
That's the mindset that they would be taking out of this, and certainly Charlie.
So imagine it like this. If the medical team, high-performance team, come into match committee and go, Charlie Curnow is ready, and then David Teague turns around and says, I'm not playing him. It's my decision. I'm not going to play him.
Yep.
How does that relationship then work between his high-performance and medical team moving forward?
Yeah.
Coach gets a call.
I didn't realise it got so late, but I thought it was an interesting comment, interesting selection. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. For me, St Kilda will win. They just simply have to win. If they want to play finals, this is the game they just have to win because their draw's not great in the run home, so this is a non-negotiable. Based on what the Blues did last week, I can't see how they can beat St Kilda, but I think a lot of people will be watching Carlton very closely tonight. Yep. They need to respond. They don't necessarily have to win, but, gee, they need to respond.
Remember?
St Kilda.
St Kilda for me too, sadly. I do like the inclusion of Honey. He's got some speed and some go.
He's got some real
speed. So I'm keen to see him back in
there. Is he dripped in Honey?
If Dwayne Russell's calling, that's exactly what he'll be doing.
His uncle was an Olympian, wasn't he? Gary Honey?
Yes.
That's his uncle.
Sister's in the netball system as well, the super netball system. So athletic family, he's got some real wheels. Has Josh keen to see him in action tonight? Keen to see Charlie. See if Harry plays. If Harry does end up lining up, it's certainly secured. If he does, well, there might be a window for the Blues tonight, but we'll tip the Saints.
Come on, Daniel.
We'll tip the Saints in this game tonight. Round number 20, game number one. We'll come back after the news and Johnny Bowden's latest from across the globe with more Boomer and more round 20 discussions about some of the key games in the world of the AFL. What about Rammer? Give us $1.42.
I know.
Multi-tier. Don't be silly.
Spending too much time with Nick Quinn. But it was just the way he said it, which is interesting. He said, I've got a tip for you.
Poor old Boomer's sitting there.
Hang on a minute. After their performance against Belgium on, when was it, Tuesday night? You know, I was scratching my head, but our girls will be okay.
Boomer, are you okay with all this?
Oh, I am, because I want to talk about the Olympics really quickly. Our skipper at North Heidelberg, Kyle McDonald, his partner, Hannah Bassett runs in the 100 sprint today. I think at about midday. Yeah. So she's going to break 11. I'm telling you, she will be quick.
She's ripped to bits, Hannah Bassett.
She'll break 11 today. This will be her best run ever, and she'll break 11.
Right, Al, that's good business. We'll keep an eye on those heats for Hannah and for the Australian track team today. Kicks off in the big stadium there. Well, has it got a name, that stadium with the bird's nest in Beijing? Is there a name for it? Any nicknames?
Sure.
No, check your local guides. Right, Al, let's get to some of the other key games in around 20. We've gone through Friday night footy. I think Essendon Sydney, much to my pain and suffering shortly, is a very important game. Essendon Rammer, and Whitey touched on this before with the importance of the game with the omission of Cale Hooker. Zaharaka's out as well. Hammond, Guelphy, in come Clark, Francis and Langford for the Swans. Harry Cunningham, Callum Mills into the team for McLean, Ronke and Rowbottom, whose sister was number one draft pick in the AFLW through the week. It has been played at the Gabba Saturday night. Ramanauskas, what do you see from your Bombers?
So Sydney have been winning over the last couple of weeks. But they've also, like, the lead they gave up to GWS was there. Even last week against Fremantle,
they looked in trouble in the second quarter.
Correct, yeah. So I think I might be clutching at straws here.
There's no doubt you're clutching. Yeah. Rammer, this is sickening what's going on.
But
here,
they might not be going as well as everybody thinks they are going. Now,
even you're losing me.
I know.
You're going to build a case for
Essendon. Hang on. Just
stop talking. Boomer, can you help us out?
Help me out, Boomer.
Arrows all over the shop, my man.
I'd like to help Rammer out because
there's too many cakes.
Oh, I just come above us. Just move.
you're talking about the negative of the Sydney Swans there, Rammer, and the fact that they're giving up leads. And I totally agree with you. But the positive on the back of that is that they've been able to bring the lead back. Yeah. And against GWS, it was a huge comeback. And yes, you're right, against the good teams, they won't be able to give those leads up and bring it back, but they have been able to do it. And with the inclusion of Dom Pike to their coaching team, their offensive game is so much greater. What are they doing, the Swans? Because you don't see a lot of them because they don't play a lot of Melbourne games. So I actually don't really know what their style of play is in terms of, like, how they're scoring and things like that. I know they got Buddy up forward.
Transition game.
Yeah, we spoke to Jake Lloyd yesterday, and he talked about the influence of Dom Pike, and we were talking about it with Jono just about how it's that extra layer that Sydney's put into their game, and you know it's changing lanes, a lot of that. It's moving the ball forward and moving the ball quickly. So they're still defending well, but when they've got the ball, they're prepared to go a bit quicker.
And then they're able to score a lot easier, a lot freer as well. Is Dom Pike could be in one of those coaching positions? I think he's been spoken to by Collingwood.
I think he'd be in the mix. I don't know whether it's going to be a Kingsley situation, first time coach, or if it's the ones that have been tried before. I reckon he has to be in the top couple.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Whitey, it
can turn around pretty quickly, can't it?
It can.
As in the reputation of somebody, Dom Pike, you know, the camp and the fact that he couldn't coach them to defend and all these sorts of things. He gets into Sydney and you see a change in Sydney and all of a sudden the stocks go up again.
Well, it's probably a good match, isn't it? Because Johnny Longmire notoriously is a defensive coach.
Yeah.
You add an offensive coach to that, they've got a fantastic mix.
Yeah. For me, the Bombers are getting a bit tired. I know Ben Rutten said that wasn't the case when he had his press conference yesterday.
Calling him a liar?
Well, I think maybe wishful. But I just think that a couple of their key players, in the midfield and also up forward. You know, we talk about Hooker going out of the team. McDonald, Tip and Woody hasn't been sharp for a while.
It's a big workload on Merritt and Parrish.
Yeah, and they've been away for a while now. Yeah. And that's not an excuse. It's just a fact.
Swans.
Yeah, they have been. But true. I think Sydney have got better senior players and older guys that are still fundamentally important to them.
Heaney,
in all facets of the game.
Heaney, Franklin has been a bomber killer for years, and Papley, they need to somehow stop now. A lot of teams like to play this team defence where they rotate, but they need to have particular matchups, I think, tomorrow night. Through to midfield, Dylan Clark comes in. When he was playing, he was tagging. So he's come back from injury now. Does he tag somebody through the middle of the ground? Cal Mills back into the team for the Swans is massive for them. He's a super player. He plays as a defensive midfielder, but still finds plenty of the ball. So I think the Swans win.
Oh, gee, you made a case before for the Bombers.
I think the Swans win. I'm hoping Essendon can put up some sort of show, but yeah, I think the Swans win this one.
Boomer.
Yeah, well, it's not the right time of the season, Whitey, to get tired. You want to be launching into a final series. You want to be going, rightio, I'm primed right now because in 4 weeks I'm going again. So if they're getting tired, I can't go with the Bombers. And with Carl Hooker out, Rammer, it's a massive out. It's a massive out. The Sydney Swans win.
Did you tip the Sydney Swans
one? Swans for me.
Swans for me as well on that one. Let's have a look at the Giants of Port Adelaide. It's big game two for these two teams.
Where's it been played?
It's been played at Metricon Stadium, Sunday 3:10. The Giants are in eighth position. Port Adelaide are in fourth and would like to hang on to that spot because the Swans are coming for that position very, very shortly. Finlayson Green, T. Green's back in of the Toby variety. Pete Ling, Spruill come in. Out goes... just the one out at the moment. Kennedy for the Sunday game, of course. And for Port Adelaide, Fantasia's back. Leanett and
another runner,
McEntee.
Another X-Factor player back.
Yep. So the Power are getting all their guns back. Toby Green and Finlayson's pretty handy. Boomer for the Giants. Metricon Stadium. Can the Giants do it? They need to.
They certainly need to because their next three games are Geelong, Richmond, Carlton. So you'd probably look at that and go, probably won't beat Geelong, probably won't beat Richmond and then Carlton. They might be able to get over. So they really need another win to set that top eight spot up. And Port have got a little bit of an easier run with Adelaide and Carlton and the Bulldogs. So I think looking at the ladder position and what's on offer for each team, I think Port Adelaide hangs on to the top four and I think Port win this one.
Port for Boomer. Whitey, we've been fans of Port Adelaide through the journey. We've been found wanting a little bit to stay with them the way they've played through the middle of the season, but are you getting a sense that it's coming back?
I am, and I think it's a combination of getting players back, and I think they have just lifted their rate over the last couple of weeks. I'm finding this one hard.
Well, if you think about this game, Whitey, so the Giants want to play a contest and stoppage game.
Yep.
That's what they've built their wins on. They're really good wins. Whereas the Power, they want to move the ball. They it's just fire him out of a shotgun and go. That's how the Power are playing. It seems like it's their only method, and it's got them probably in a little bit of trouble. So the Giants almost have to come back to the similar style that they played against Melbourne. Take the extra up to the contest, make it a scrap, just drive the ball forward, territory game. Now, if the Power allow that to happen for a lot of the day, that gives, I think, the Giants a great chance. Now, on the other hand, if the Giants allow Port to run and gun, they won't be able to keep up with them. So it's real contrasting styles, this game.
Look, at the end of the day, when you look at Port Adelaide, the games that they've lost over the last couple of months have been to quality opposition. Melbourne, Geelong, and then throwing the Western Bulldogs. They're the only games they've lost since round eight. So,
and they haven't been big losses.
No, they haven't been. So while they haven't quite been as good as I think we all thought they'd be at the start of the year, I think that is largely personnel driven. Yeah. And as those players come back, I think they will beat the Giants, but I have enough respect for some of the performances the Giants have put in the last month that I wouldn't be so sure on.
My other concern on the Power, because they play that style of game when they run, it leaves their defence exposed still. Going back, if the ball turns over, now with Toby Green coming back into the team, if he's having a lot of one-on-one contest, he's going to win more than he loses. So you don't, when you're playing against GWS and and Toby Green, you want to make sure your numbers are crowding him almost. So you're virtually going 2-on-1, you know, 3-on-2, 3-on-2 at times. So I think it's really important for the Giants because there's not, if you look through that back line for the Power, there's not necessarily a natural matchup for Toby Green there.
I think the Power are an absolute lock.
Lock?
This week.
Wow.
Lock them in. Take the 146 and melt it into...
146?
Into your whatever it is, the 142 sure. for the Matildas.
For Opals.
Or the Opals, sorry. I reckon they're a lock. Their quality's coming back. The Giants are way too inconsistent. I know Toby makes a difference, but I love what the front half's doing for the Power. I think their defence is much more stable than we give it credit for.
So you reckon they're still a premiership chance?
I'm not 100% convinced about that, but they're a lock for this one. They're a 4.5 game better team on the ladder for a reason.
Yep.
And you couldn't trust the Giants against a team like Port Adelaide. And Metricon seems to be happy hunting ground for Port Adelaide last year.
Because they can get
year.
The ball into space.
I like them. Boomer?
Yeah, I agree. You're only one game off the top, the number one position of the ladder too. I know they haven't beat a lot of eight teams, but you're only one game off. So saying that, I have to go with Port as well.
Port for me, Port for Boomer. Did you tip anyone then, Remo?
I'm going to have to take a punt on this game.
Giants?
Yep.
Righto, Giants for
because
you.
Because I know I'm winning our little tipping contest, but the wider RSN tipping contest, I need to take a little.
I'm just about ready to launch. I told you that finals. Yeah.
So I'll be taking the Giants in this game, Mr. White.
Port Adelaide for me.
Port Adelaide for you. All right, let's get to a break. Come back and go through the rest of the games in round 20. And there's a couple of other key ones that we probably didn't get a chance to get drill down too deep into. But there's one on Sunday night, and it's going to shape the eight as well. So we'll talk about that.
We will too.
After this, with Brent Harvey, the AFL Games record holder, the champ from the Kangaroos, and massive pipes from his boxing sessions. And we have the Friday face-off as well. If you haven't registered, rsn.net.au. Boomer and I tied last week. I'm going to let him take the category this week.
I've eaten that many cakes. My head, like, it's buzzing. Like, it's like a real hell. It's like dizzy spells.
Somebody get the man a drink of water. We'll do it during the break.
Harford, White, Ramanaskis. This is RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
It's a great little riff there. 25 past 8 on a Friday morning. Great to have Brent Harvey with us on the Friday footy preview. Don't forget Blue Eyes not too far away on our Racing Pulse. And Gareth Hall, RSN Central through the morning as well. Dino and Adam Hamilton today. Not Hamish because he's doing Olympic stuff. Dino and Adam Hamilton to join him.
Hamish and
through the morning.
Thorpe.
That's right.
In tandem.
It's the second best combination in the media, Hamish and Ian Thorpe, behind Hamish and Dina on a Friday morning, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, let's get the other games for round 20. Boomer's with us, the AFL Games record holder, the champ from the Kangaroos. Boy, he's got some good pipes. Western Bulldogs and Adelaide, Boomer, tomorrow at Maher Stadium in Ballarat, is going to be played. Dunklin would come in. Big ins for the Dogs, I would have thought. Murray and Rowe for the Adelaide Crows. At Ballarat, the Crows or the Dogs?
No, I don't think we need to waste too much time on this. The Western Bulldogs will win and win convincingly.
Right.
Dogs.
Dogs.
Dogs for me on that one. North Melbourne and Geelong. Now, big outs for the Kangas. This is down at Hobart, to Blundstone Arena in Hobart. Massive outs. Cunnington, Thomas, Zerha, and Attlee. Sean Attlee dropped. First time in 180,000 games, Boomer.
Yeah, he's played over 200 games, hasn't he?
He's played more games than any other player in the last decade, pretty much.
Is that right?
Hmm.
Well, no, hit a Joel Selwood.
Yep.
And Dustin Martin.
Yep.
Dustin Martin too.
Yep.
He missed six games.
More home and away games than any other.
Home and away games. That's
right. Cool. Okay. All right. Anyone tipping the Kangas down in Tassie?
Nope.
On the back of that?
No. Yeah.
What is it? Two in a row. Come on. 10 games. What is it? 4 wins, 5 losses, and a draw. I think the Kangas.
Similar record to
form ladder.
Same record as Melbourne.
The form ladder, spot on. Although they have beaten some rubbish teams. Gold Coast of Melbourne at Metricon Stadium tomorrow afternoon, 3:20. Gold Coast are not going to win, says Rama. Boomer?
Yeah, interesting to see Isaac Rankin dropped as well. I know he hasn't had a big month of football, but capable of just about anything. But Melbourne for me.
Whitey?
He's capable of absolutely anything, but he hasn't really done much, has he?
No, he hasn't. He's not in the last month of footy anyway.
Ben King.
For a long time.
Ben King, 50 games. Who's been better?
Ben or Max? We'll enter another day.
Okay.
We're going to move on. Collingwood West Coast.
I reckon the Suns are a sneaky chance in that game.
Are you tipping them?
No.
Okay. So,
Mighty's the best.
I'm tipping the D's as well. Collingwood West Coast, MCG, tomorrow 4:15. Lots of ins for the Magpies. Hoskin Elliott Howe. Good to see Jeremy Howe back. Maine and Thomas come in. Penderbury, of course, out with that leg is a big blow for them. And Shannon Hearn, we should acknowledge Shannon Hearn, former West Coast Eagles captain, 300 games for the mighty man for the West. He's been a champion for that footy club. Hope he has a good day tomorrow at the G. Boomer, who wins it?
You know, if Pendlebury was playing, I'd actually think about it. But without Pendlebury, a leader for the Pies, I think West Coast are not, they're not back by any stretch of the imagination. But I think they'll get the biggies this week.
Whitey?
I'm going to pick West Coast. But it's worth mentioning with the Eagles that they have only won two games away from Perth this year, and that was to Hawthorn and to Carlton. So they're not very good away from home.
That is true.
I think they'll beat West. That you made the comment that the Eagles might miss the eight.
I did.
If they do lose this one, they will miss the eight.
I agree.
But I'm picking West Coast.
West Coast.
West Coast for me too. Hawthorn, Brisbane, Utah Stadium in Launceston on Sunday. I'm tipping Brisbane.
Brisbane.
And the last game is Fremantle and Richmond at Perth Stadium, Sunday 5. Is it 5:10? Yeah, it is.
Yep.
Lots of ins and outs in the squads at the moment. So, but still no Dusty, no Fife or Walters or Pierce for Fremantle. Can anyone find a way?
Fremantle.
Fremantle for you?
Whoa.
Whitey?
I'm going to go Richmond.
Boomer.
Yeah, I think Fife and Walters. Fife and Walters are a massive out, nearly bigger than Dusty, I'm tipping. So I'm going Richmond.
I'm on the Tigers too. Well, there is a hope and a pulse. I think they can win this game for a chance at the top eight. Retro jumper this weekend for Freo as well. Looking forward to seeing that in action.
Freo wearing the retro jumper from back in the 90s where they're wearing their away strip.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I thought they might have worn the purple and the red and the green. You know the
yeah I'm with you.
Yeah, but they've gone with the green option. No team in the AFL wears green.
That's a good point. Good reason for that. Let's get to the Friday face off.
The Breakfast Club's face off for Riviera's in Port Melbourne for simply sensational seafood dining. Tomorrow's menu is still swimming.
$100 Riviera's voucher and a Bataki hamper up for grads. Register at the website rsn.net.au. You get to hang out with Boomer on a Friday morning. Boomer, what are we playing for, please? What category?
Well, I did say that St Kilda and Carlton are both number one and two in contested marks at the minute. So my brain says to go and do contested possessions, Kentuckies, because I know you boys love them.
Kentuckies.
But I did make a pact with myself at the start of the year that I will not choose Kentuckies. So we're going with marks.
All right, marks today for the Friday face-off. You go last, Boomer, because you won and you got to pick the category, so I'll go third. Most marks, Rami, you get to go first for Ross McGee in the CBD. It rhymes. I love this stuff.
Ross McGee in the CBD.
I will go with Jacob Wiedering.
Jacob Wiedering for Ross. Whitey, you get to go for Andrew Gilroy Scott from Seaford.
We had no preparation for this. It's very good. Troubling.
That's the beauty of it.
I am going to go with...
Oh, gee.
Nick Newman.
Hello, Nick. Nick Newman for Andrew Gilroy Scott.
He's not even on the category board.
I'm going to play for Aaron Thompson from Miners Rest. that's funny. Ram has lost it. I'm going to go for Tim Membry for Aaron Thompson from Miners Rest.
Good choice.
I think he'll take lots of marks tonight. Boomer, who you got for Frank Glyde from Mernda?
Who'd you go? Membry.
Membry.
I'm going to go Jones.
Which one?
From Carlton.
Righto. Liam. Okay, Liam Jones.
Big Liam Jones. Liam Jones.
We've left a few on the board.
There's a few on the board there. That's all right. That's what happens on the Friday face-off when you're under the pump. Nah, Boomer, good luck to you boys in Tassie. Obviously, a big challenge down there against the Cats. We'll find out who's who in the zoo down there. We'll catch you next week.
Beautiful. Looking forward to it. Have a good weekend.